Sup, you beautiful bastards. Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is why late last night, early this morning, we had adult film star Stormy Daniels in the news. There really wasn't any more news regarding the allegations and scandal that she has with President Trump and Michael Cohen. No, seemingly nothing to do with that. Instead, she was arrested at an Ohio strip club for allegedly touching patrons on stage in violation of state law. But while not technically news involving the Trump scandal, according to her attorney, Michael Avenatti, this was politically motivated. This morning he tweeted, "Just received word that my client Stormy Daniels was arrested in Columbus, Ohio while performing the same act she has performed across the nation at nearly 100 strip clubs. This was a setup and politically motivated. It reeks of desperation. We will fight all bogus charges." Then adding, "She was arrested for allegedly allowing a customer to touch her while on stage in a non-sexual manner. Are you kidding me? They are devoting law enforcement resources to sting operations for this? There has to be higher priorities. Hashtag setup." Also later announcing that she would be issuing a plea of not guilty, and then she was released on bail. Now a big thing to note here is though Avenatti said that Stormy Daniels was arrested for allowing customers to touch her, according to the arrest report, police accused Daniels of touching a, quote, specified anatomical area of individuals present at the performance, including police officers. And specifically, she was charged with 3 misdemeanor counts of touching a patron at a sexually oriented business in violation of Ohio strip club law. I might be going out on a limb here, but you might not be familiar with Ohio strip club law, so I'll explain. In Ohio, it is illegal for an employee who is nude or semi-nude at a sexually oriented business to be touched by a patron or to touch a patron, except if the other person involved is an immediate family member. Which I will say sounds like an accidentally weird loophole. But also a thing to note here is that the specific language of the law is very specific itself, and that's something that we'll touch on near the end of this story. But before we touch on that, we'll share what the detectives said allegedly happened. The detectives who were at Sirens Gentlemen's Club said that around 11:30 p.m. local time, they observed Daniels remove her top. She then allegedly began forcing the faces of the patrons into her chest and using her bare breasts to smack the patrons. The officers also observed Miss Clifford fondling the breasts of female patrons. Daniels allegedly made her way over to one officer, leaned over and grabbed her face and, quote, began smacking her face with her bare breasts and holding her face between her breasts against her chest. Reportedly, she did a similar thing to a second officer. The document also adding that Daniels fondled a third officer's buttocks and breasts, then going back to her greatest hits of breast smacking. And reportedly, Daniels is one of 3 people who were arrested at the club, but as of now, it is unclear who the other 2 people were. Now, as far as the actual law, there are 2 interesting points, and one relates to an update. And the first is somewhat connected to, was Stormy Daniels specifically targeted? And here, even though the law has been in effect for over a decade, a 2017 report for the Columbus Dispatch found that it was rarely enforced. And the article even quoted the Franklin County Sheriff's Office as saying, in the decade since the law was enacted, it has never had any complaints or reasons to apply it. And a spokesman for the Sheriff's Office by the name of Mark Goffstein told the Dispatch, "We have gone back as far as we have records for, and nothing has been found." So seeing it seemingly used out of nowhere has raised some questions. And then also, too, remember how I said the law was very specific? The big update to the story is Michael Avenatti went to Twitter to announce that the charges have been dropped against Stormy. And when you look into why, it's because the language was so specific in the actual law. As the memorandum in support points out, that statute states in pertinent part that, quote, no person who regularly appears nude or semi-nude on the premises of a sexually oriented business while on the premises of that sexually oriented business while semi-nude shall knowingly touch a patron. Regularly means consistently or repeatedly. In this case, there has been no evidence provided to the state that defendant appears or has appeared regularly at Sirens. It goes on and on, but then says, therefore, the state cannot prove every element of these offenses beyond a reasonable doubt. And so the charges were dismissed, and I guess we learned things about Ohio State strip club law that I had no desire to learn, but now we all know. It is illegal for a nude or semi-nude person in one of these establishments to touch anybody unless they are very closely related to them and or just kind of passing through. If you're gonna slap someone with your breasts on a Tuesday, you sure as hell better not show up to work on a Wednesday and or on a regularly scheduled basis. That is the law in Ohio. But that said, now that we've learned as a group, I do want to pass the question off to you, and that is, do you feel like Daniels was specifically targeted here? And also, if you do feel like she was targeted, do you think that is connected to the scandal? But from that, I want to share some stuff I love today, and today in Awesome brought to you by Squarespace. Whether you need a domain, an online store, a website, make it with Squarespace. And it's so incredibly intuitive and easy. You just use their all-in-one platform, you make a beautiful website, there is nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. You can use their templates as is, or what I personally do is I just use them as a starting point. And at any point along the way, you need some help, they have award-winning 24/7 customer service. So if you want to check it out, you want to make the smart move like many from the nation have, go to squarespace.com/Phil, start your free trial, and when you really like it, make sure you enter an offer code Phil for 10% off your first purchase. And the first bit of awesome today is if you are not 100% filled in after today's show, I uploaded a bonus video. We kind of dive into a topic one of you bring up, you help guide the show. It's, I don't know, I really, really, really love it. So after today's show, check it out. Then we had Laura DIY breaking down her favorite Instagram follows. Then we had the fantastic Terry Crews breaking down his 10 most iconic characters. We had Ted Ed giving us how exactly does binary code work. We got a clip from The Equalizer 2. We had the fantastic Tom Segura on Hot Ones. Then we got our first shots for the movie Glass, which is coming out in 2019. And if you're not familiar, it is the next movie from the Unbreakable Split universe. And I cannot wait. By the way, every now and then I come across someone that has not watched Unbreakable. I highly recommend it. It's one of my favorite, if you can classify it in this way, kind of origin story up there with Chronicle. I'm aware it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I was a big fan of both of those. Then, just wanted to share the awesome that is everyone involved in GuardianCon raising money for St. Jude. Just 2 days ago, we talked about how they had raised $1.7 million. As of today, they've raised over $2.7 million. So to everyone streaming, donating, sharing the stream so it gets out to more people, congratulations and good on you. And if you want to see the full versions of everything, I just shared the secret link of the day, anything at all. Links, as always, are in the description down below. Then, in the latest version of someone says something during an interview and then is met with a ton of backlash, we have Henry Cavill. So what is this about? Why are people angry at this generation's Superman? Well, reportedly, he was speaking with GQ Australia, and he said this. There's something wonderful about a man chasing a woman. There's a traditional approach to that, which is nice. I think a woman should be wooed and chased, but maybe I'm old-fashioned for thinking that. Then adding, it's very difficult to do that if there are certain rules in place. Because then it's like, well, I don't want to go up and talk to her because I'm going to be called a rapist or something. So you're like, forget it, I'm going to call an ex-girlfriend instead, and then just go back to a relationship which never really worked. But it's way safer than casting myself into the fires of hell because I'm someone in the public eye, and if I go and flirt with someone, then who knows what's going to happen. Now you really can't pursue someone further than no. It's like, okay, cool. But then there's the, oh, why'd you give up? And it's like, well, because I didn't want to go to jail. And following this interview getting traction, there was a ton of pushback and backlash. And one of the standout reactions that's gained a lot of traction came from Helen Price, who tweeted, this is absurd. If Henry Cavill doesn't want to be called a rapist, then all he has to do is not rape anyone. The mental gymnastics some men are doing to position themselves as victims of Me Too is insane. If you're approaching women in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable or unsafe, then you need to change your behavior instead of whining about how some men are now facing consequences for serial harassment and assault. Stop trying to derail the conversation by claiming Me Too wants to stop men ever talking to women or some bullshit. If you don't know the difference between politely asking someone out and sexually harassing them, you have a serious problem. But on the other side of this, you had people defending him, saying he's just pointing out why he stops at no. And while obviously he and other men can control their actions, they can never fully control someone's perception. Right, essentially it's the defense that Justin Trudeau gave with his allegations. To paraphrase, he very much understands that two people can experience the same thing extremely differently. But main point, after this massive reaction online, Cavill has since come out with a statement. In a statement to The Hollywood Reporter, he said he wanted to apologize for any confusion and misunderstanding that his comments may have caused, saying, insensitivity was absolutely not my intention. In light of this, I would just like to clarify and confirm to all that I have always and will continue to hold women in the highest regard, no matter the type of relationship, whether it be friendship, professional, or a significant other. Never would I intend to disrespect in any way, shape, or form. This experience has taught me a valuable lesson as to the context and the nuance of editorial liberties. Then adding, he looks forward to clarifying his position, but the way that ended is pretty interesting, because it does appear that he feels he was misrepresented. But with all of that said, I do want to pass the question off to you. What is your takeaway from this? Do you feel that Cavill's statements, while maybe not intentionally, were still problematic and troubling, or no, do you think this is just another example of outrage culture? That he was just trying to share his personal experience, if you want to call it anxiety meeting new women, and that was blown up to make it sound like he was trying to go after the entire Me Too movement. I'd love to know any and all of your thoughts here. Then we had Papa John's founder, John Schnatter, in the news. If you didn't see, yesterday there was a Forbes piece published about him. It describes a conference call from May between Papa John's executives and a company called Laundry Service. It's a marketing agency, and reportedly this call was set up as a sort of role-playing exercise. And the hope was that it would help them stop any future PR issues. If you don't remember, he ended up having to step down as CEO of the company back in January. That after backlash he received when he blamed NFL leadership for failing to stop national anthem protests, which he said was hurting the chain's sales. And so according to the article, during this call, during this role-playing exercise, he ends up saying the N-word. Reportedly, Schnatter was asked how he would distance himself from racist groups online, and the article reads, he responded by downplaying the significance of his NFL statement, Schnatter saying, quote, Colonel Sanders called blacks, I'll just let you fill in the blanks yourself. He didn't say ninjas. And this reportedly before complaining that Sanders never faced public backlash. Additionally, Schnatter also reflected on his early life in Indiana, where he said people used to drag African-Americans from trucks until they died. He apparently intended for the remarks to convey his antipathy to racism, but multiple individuals on the call found them to be offensive. And after learning about the incident, Laundry Service owner Casey Wasserman moved to terminate the company's contract with Papa John's. And that's a pretty notable move, because according to Forbes, Laundry Service has recently had to lay off 10% of its workforce in response to financial pressure, which some has to be attributed to cancellation of their Papa John's contract. Now, as far as did Schnatter actually say this, the answer is actually yes. Reportedly, in an email, Schnatter confirmed to Forbes that he made those comments and apologized, saying, news reports attributing the use of inappropriate and hurtful language to me during a media training session regarding race are true. Regardless of the context, I apologize. Simply stated, racism has no place in our society. And now, since this article has come out, not only is he not the president of Papa John's, he has now resigned as board chairman. Now, as far far as how this actually impacts Schnatter, of course it does to a certain degree, but for the most part, he's still gonna be fine. Reportedly, he still owns 30% of the company. While Papa John's stock dropped about 5% yesterday after all of this new news, they were up 13% today. And based off of the company's stock price right now, Schnatter's total stake in the company, that's about $500 million for him. But I do imagine that has to be a weird feeling. That's like if I resigned from the Philip DeFranco show and all of a sudden we started getting 30% more views. Like, my ego would take a little bit of a hit, but that's a net positive for everyone. I mean, think about it. If you scrape everything away from this story, ultimately you have a story where Papa John's stock price ended up going up 8% because the chairman got exposed for saying the N-word. It's an interesting world we live in. And then let's talk about what's been happening with NATO this week. So to start things off, if you don't know what NATO is, here is a brief explainer. NATO is a political military alliance that's been around since 1949. Today, it's made up of 29 nations that include European countries, the United States, and Canada. Its original intention was to be a deterrent against the USSR, and when the USSR dissolved, NATO specifically didn't invite Russia to the group, but did invite a lot of the former satellite states, this including Poland and the Czech Republic. And even now, NATO still sort of functions as a counterweight to Russia. Still active in Afghanistan, a couple other places, condemned Russia's annexation of Crimea in 2014. But main point, some of the news you might have seen this week is that on Wednesday, Trump had a breakfast meeting along with his senior aides and some European leaders, and he heavily criticized Germany. And here are two specific highlights relating to Germany and their relationship with Russia.
Yeah, so you tell me, is that appropriate? I mean, I've been complaining about this from the time I got in. It should have never been allowed to have happened. But Germany is totally controlled by Russia because they were getting from 60 to 70% of their energy from Russia and a new pipeline. And you tell me if that's appropriate, because I think it's not. And I think it's a very bad thing for NATO, and I don't think it should have happened. And I think we have to talk to Germany about it. Now, if you look at it, Germany is a captive of Russia because they supply. They got rid of their coal plants, they got rid of their nuclear. They're getting so much of the oil and gas from Russia. I think it's something that NATO has to look at.
Now, probably not one of the most important things, but a side thing to this story that really I enjoyed. A lot of news agencies were talking about how annoyed John Kelly and Kay Hutchinson, U.S. ambassador to NATO, looked while Trump was talking. And on that note, Sarah Sanders commented to the Washington Post that Kelly was, quote, displeased because he was expecting a full breakfast and there were only pastries and cheese. And it's just something funny to me about that side story. But as far as what Trump is talking about, he is referring specifically to something called the Nord Stream 2 project. This is a new pipeline project that would cut directly across the Baltic Sea and supply more natural gas to Germany. And that's incredibly notable because much of Europe relies on Russia for natural gas, and yes, Germany is Russia's biggest export market in Europe for gas. And so that Nord Stream 2 project might increase the reliance. And this is a somewhat delicate topic in Europe because in the past, Russia has used other countries' reliance on gas to exert pressure on them. For example, you have the case of Russia cutting off Ukraine's gas supplies in June of 2014 after it annexed Crimea. This was to put pressure on Ukraine. And so for Trump here, he does have a point as far as German reliance on Russian natural gas, but as far as totally controlled, that seems like an overstatement. And actually, in response to Trump, Merkel brought up the fact that she grew up in East Germany under Soviet Union control as a way to say that she knows what real control is like, saying, I have experienced myself how a part of Germany was controlled by the Soviet Union. I am very happy that today we are united in freedom, the Federal Republic of Germany. Because of that, we can say that we can make our independent policies and make independent decisions. That is very good, especially for people in Eastern Germany. Additionally, we also saw Trump criticize Germany for how much they contribute, Trump hitting on the disparity between what the United States and Germany pay for defense, also complaining about the timeline that NATO has laid out for its members to meet specific funding. Goals.
On top of that, Germany is just paying a little bit over 1%, whereas the United States, in actual numbers, is paying 4.2% of a much larger GDP. So I think that's inappropriate also. You know, we're protecting Germany, we're protecting France, we're protecting everybody, and yet we're paying a lot of money to protect. But I have to bring it up because I think it's very unfair to our country, it's very unfair to our taxpayer. And I think that these countries have to step it up, not over a 10-year period, they have to step it up immediately. Germany is a rich country. They talk about they're going to increase it a tiny bit by 2030. Well, they could increase it immediately tomorrow and have no problem. I don't think it's fair to the United States.
And here, Trump is actually absolutely right that the United States pays the most into NATO. By all NATO metrics, the United States pays the most. NATO has even said that there's an over-reliance on the United States. The NATO website even says that the United States provides about 67% of funding in real terms, meaning infrastructure and equipment too. However, some of the numbers Trump used are incorrect. The United States spent about 3.57% of its GDP on defense in 2017, not 4.2. Now granted, that is a small difference as far as percentage, but we're talking about $618 billion spent on defense in 2017. 2017. But as far as the other number, Trump is correct. Germany spends 1.2% of its GDP on defense right now. Now, as far as the timeline and the percentages, why does that matter? What Trump is referencing here is in 2014, after Russia annexed Crimea, all NATO members agreed to meet a commitment to increase defense spending to 2% of their GDP by 2024. Now, obviously, that's 6 years away, but as of right now, really only five countries meet that 2% threshold. You have the United States, Greece, the UK, Estonia, and Latvia. Now, later in the day, things got even more concerning. We started seeing unconfirmed reports coming out that Trump was making harsher threats behind closed doors. Now, keep in mind, they were unconfirmed. Trump was being quoted as saying, I'll go it alone, I'll do my own thing. This if NATO members didn't meet that 2% goal. But after those reports came out, President Macron of France cleared things up, saying, generally, I do not comment on what goes on behind the scenes, but at no moment did President Trump neither bilaterally nor multilaterally say that he was intending to leave NATO. And ultimately, what we ended up seeing Wednesday is, despite the kind of back and forth we saw earlier, Trump signed the communique that reaffirmed NATO's importance and that commitment to 2% defense spending by 2024. But still, Donald Trump's comments on top of that were powerful enough to prompt an emergency budgetary meeting today. And towards the end of the day, it seemed that Donald Trump's tone had switched. Here was Trump today.
Now we're very happy and have a very, very powerful, very, very strong NATO, much stronger than it was 2 days ago. But I believe in NATO. I think NATO is very important, probably the greatest ever done.
Donald Trump has also claimed that there was an agreed-upon spending increase, but as of right now, there is no record of that. Additionally, President Macron has said that nothing else has been agreed upon. So that makes the situation a lot more confusing. Is there a misunderstanding? Is someone lying? Did Trump say something like, you gotta hurry it up? And someone was like, okay, yeah, we'll try. Or is there something more official and it's just not being reported on right now? Well, we'll have to wait and see. That's where I'm going to end today's show. And of course, remember, this is the PDS. It is not just a show, it is a conversation. So whether it's the last story, the first one, anything in between, let me know what you're thinking in those comments down below. And of course, remember, if you like this video and or you think I'm a pretty, pretty princess, hit that like button. If you're new here, hit that sub, really. That's what I'm saying today. Sure, I'm not sleeping well. If you like what I do here with these daily videos, hit that subscribe button, ring the bell for notifications. Sometimes it even works. Also, if you missed either of the last two Philip DeFranco shows you want to catch up, you can click or tap right there. But that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.